attention. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
You know, trying to read the tea leaves here. Trying to read the tea leaves because the jury came back and asked several questions last night of Judge Ellis in the Paul Manafort trial. I don't know if it means anything, but they came back and asked about the definition again of defining reasonable doubt. The judge explained to them it didn't have to be on any doubt, but reasonable doubt. And he outlined that. He also said he was not going to organize the exhibits or explain to them where the evidence belonged or to explain other parts of the trial. So they were, it was incumbent upon them to be responsible to manage the information, to manage their notes, to manage the trial information, even though there was a ton of it. Joining me now is Kendall Coffey, former U.S. Attorney, Southern District of Florida. Kendall, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, and happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday for sure. You're a super lawyer, by the way. I'll just tell people that. You are a super
lawyer.
Well, thank you. I apologize for most attorneys I know, but, you know, I'm going to give you a pass because you're a super lawyer. And I say that was some fun, but that's how you have been recognized in the past. So let me ask you about this. You've done a lot of trials. You've done a lot of work. You obviously pay close attention. Anything to take away from the jury coming back and asking questions? Mean something? Doesn't mean something? Who knows?
Well, I think it means something, but it just gives you a glimpse of sort of speculative glimpse of what may be going on at one point in time. And it certainly doesn't tell you how the case is going to turn out. But what it suggests to me is that there are at least some people on the jury that think there might be a reasonable doubt. Doesn't mean that it's all 12, could be just one or two, and they want to get more clarity on it. And that's just, as far as it goes, a good thing for the defense because, you know, you always are concerned that jurors are just going to lock in on did he do it or didn't he do it. But a very big part of our system as well, you know, kind of maybe we think he might have done it, but there's a reasonable doubt. And a lot of cases are won and lost on reasonable doubt. So
let me ask you this. As you watched this trial, was Gates an asset or a liability for the prosecution? I mean, once he came out there and admitted, well, he made a deal with the prosecution, he basically said, you know, I did all of these things, but Paul Manafort also did. To me, bringing Gates out as a star witness almost weakened the case, it would appear.
Well, I think he ended up being a liability for the prosecution. I guess they thought they needed him in there to put some points together, but every cooperator, of course, makes a deal with the prosecution, and that's presented to the jury, and prosecutors know how to handle it. But Gates was a lot more than that. And he was somebody who, as we know, was in it up to his neck, was, in fact, hoping to get probation, and, by the way, stealing from his own boss. So the average juror has got to be totally turned off to Gates, and what the defense has to hope is that some of the jurors are so offended by Gates that they may hold out for.
Well, here's my takeaway. I mean, here Gates goes in there, in effect, paraphrasing greatly, obviously. He said Paul Manafort knew everything that was going on, but obviously not, because Gates was stealing from Manafort, lining his own pockets, had, you know, these liaisons and apartments and mistresses and so forth. And so Manafort, by Gates' own testimony, didn't know everything that was going on because he certainly didn't know he was getting robbed.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the prosecution, I think, tried to back off their reliance on Gates a little bit, saying, no, the star witness wasn't Gates. The star witness is the documents. But documents are boring. And Gates was, of course, was indeed the star witness for the prosecution.
Yeah.
So the defense is very properly trying to make this a trial about Rick Gates.
And, the conventional wisdom is that despite all of that, a guilty verdict is more likely than not. But even if that's true, and to listen to CNN or to read the New York Times, this is a pivotal case in the Russia collusion pursuit of Donald Trump, even though is there any connection whatsoever to Donald Trump, his campaign, his administration, anything between this case and Bob Mueller's investigation of Donald Trump?
Well, none whatsoever. I think it's more of a situation where if they convict Manafort for his tax evasions, for his alleged bank frauds, all unrelated to the Trump campaign, I think the president's supporters can say, so what? Sorry about that, Paul, but, you know, you have nothing to do with us.
And the takeaway is pay your taxes.
On the other hand, if there were a hung jury here, I do think that would have some complications for the special counsel's office. So, in a way, if you think about it logically, the special counsel's office has more to lose in this than Trump, because ultimately it has nothing to do with Trump, but it does have a lot to do with the approach the special counsel's office has taken. If they went after Manafort the intense way they did, with the huge resources they did, and they don't get a conviction, there's going to be skepticism and maybe more voices that say the special counsel needs to wind this down.
And rightfully so, I would say. Because the real takeaway, if Paul Manafort is convicted, the real takeaway is pay your taxes. I mean, what else is there? Pay your taxes,
disclose
and you wouldn't have that problem.
Pay your taxes, disclose your foreign bank accounts, be careful about applications you submit to banks. Nothing to do with the president or with Russia, really.
Exactly. All right, real quickly, we've got a couple of minutes here, Kendall. Kendall Coffey here, super lawyer. I say that. It's kind of fun to say. Come on, you like it.
I like it.
Of course you do. It's nice to be liked. So let's talk about Brett Kavanaugh real quick. We got about 2 minutes, like I said. Brett Kavanaugh, big boom, big headlines, a lot of this and a lot of that. Now it's kind of gone quiet. He's slowly making his way around Capitol Hill, probably another 25 days or so before we get to some hearings. What do you make of Brett Kavanaugh? Is he going to be confirmed?
Well, I think most predicted he will be. And you know, one of the things that's going to be undeniable about Brett Kavanaugh, I had the privilege of working with him briefly, but in an intense matter back in 2000. He's just a great guy. He's got an incredible mind. He's classy as they come. He writes probably, does legal writing about as well as anybody in the country. So the qualifications and the personal character are just so overwhelmingly positive with him that It would be a very difficult case to deny confirmation.
But this is the point in the conversation,
Kendall. Questions about his work in the Star team that investigated President Clinton, as well as his later writings indicating that he did not think that the President of the United States should be subject to the kind of investigation that happened with Clinton or that's going on right now with President Trump.
Right. Now, and you say all of these glowing things about Brett Kavanaugh. And just so everybody knows, you were a member of the Al Gore legal team back in 2000 in that big battle in Florida. So, I mean, you come from, I think that gives you more credibility because you're a guy who's worked on both sides of the aisle.
I'm a confessed Democrat, and so I can definitely say that this is just an outstanding person and an outstanding legal talent. And they beat us. They did a masterful job in the recount, and they won. And we know the rest was history, as they say.
Yeah. Well, in the recounts, just for the record, Kendall, there was not a single recount that ever showed Al Gore coming out on top, not from the University of Miami or the papers or anything else. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being here. Love to talk to you again. Kendall Coffey here, former U.S.
Thanks
attorney.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Super Lawyer on a Friday. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chris McLatcher. You know the guy Steve Gruber has been talking about? I fight the IRS in the state of Michigan for a living, and I've been around since 1991, over 25 years. Our firm is called Fresh Start Tax Solutions, and we are right here in Michigan. Just type in your area code tax.com. In Lansing, that would be 517tax.com. If you're a Uper, that would be 906tax.com. You'll be directed to our website where you can instantly be connected by phone or email. At Fresh Start Tax Solutions, we can get the IRS and the state of Michigan off your back today.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Golf is a great way to connect with nature and give kids in the Lansing School District opportunities to do the same. Join us for the Eversol Classic, Saturday, August 18th at Timber Ridge. You'll fund scholarships that will inspire learners to embrace nature, engage their minds, and learn about responsible stewardship of our planet. Book your foursome or sponsor a hole and help others experience the wonders of nature at the 4th Annual Eversol Classic, August 18th at Timber Ridge.